Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. Well, guys, I am so excited. It's our seventh week of Overflow. You guys having a good time? I got to ask, who's been here all 7 weeks of Overflow? Anybody been to all the Overflows? Okay, I see you guys. Our true and faithful ones. No, just kidding. Thank you for coming, for supporting. We're so excited for what God is doing on our Sunday night service. We're grateful for our senior pastors who have allowed us as young adults to come in and just kind of put our flavor on what's already been going on Sunday night. And we are just so excited. And we know that God is going to do amazing things as he's growing this service, but also as he's growing our church and what he wants to do through our church, which is you guys, right? It's not just trying to grow for capacity. We're growing our personal capacity. That's been our prayer since week one of this, that God would overflow us. But as I was preparing and meditating for what God might want to speak, man, who's been so excited? God, there's been some amazing preachers. We've had just about new preachers every week. These are people on our church staff. God is really using the people on our team, and we're so grateful for the team. Reverend Beth brought a great word last week. Check that out on the podcast. And you will be blessed and ministered to by that. But I was, you know, So I'm preparing. I'm like, you know, God, what do you want to do? And we've been talking about Overflow. Every service has kind of had a hint of Overflow and what that means. And I was listening to a song by, anyone know Pastor Tasha Cobbs? Man, I'll put a praise on it. That's my jam right now. And so I was listening to I'll Put a Praise on It, but it was kind of running through on Spotify, the different songs that she had. And then she had this song called I'm Getting Ready. I want to read some of the lyrics to you because, man, it really blessed me, and it'll preach, I'll tell you that much. But let me just share with you some of the lyrics here. I can't sing, so I probably won't even try. I might try just to do a little couple woo-hoo, but I probably shouldn't. Okay, so here goes. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard the kind of blessings that's about to fall on me. Whoa. 'Cause victory is here. Kick defeat out the door. God's doing a new thing. Get ready for overflow. And then he goes into the hook. 'Cause I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen. Prophesy over your life saying, I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen. And it kind of goes on in that I'm getting ready because I'm about to see something I've never seen. And I love that idea of getting ready. And it made me kind of ask myself, okay, so, oh, wow, it has overflow in it. But it was talking about I'm getting ready. And then I realized, am I ready for overflow? We've been talking about overflow. We've been talking about what it means. We've been talking about different ways we might receive overflow. But the preparation is, have I been seeing these things in the natural? Now, I want to say that I've seen growth in my personal life. I've seen overflow of love and of abundance in my life. So I feel like I'm receiving, but am I prepared to see more? And I felt like the Lord was speaking to me that there might be people in this place, myself included, that you just have that there's that challenge of I don't know that I can believe for overflow. I'm just trying to believe just for enough. I live a check-to-check life. I'm just trying to get through this week. I'm just trying to get through this semester. I'm just trying to get through this pay period because I'm getting that towards the end. I don't know what maybe it is in your life, but I feel like God was speaking to me that there's those of us in here that Pastor, it's great to talk about overflow, but can I just get my needs met? I'm just trying to eat. I'm just trying to raise my children. I'm just trying to believe for just enough. But God sent me here tonight with a message, with the word that I believe will help us all, because God doesn't have, I don't believe God has like these nozzles. I believe God has on and he has off. So when you're at the same power that it takes for God to give you just enough is the same power that will overflow into your life. So I feel like we cut ourselves short when we ask for the just enough God, because God is off or on. If he's going to provide, he's going to provide to overflow for us in our life. But yet we're over here saying, God, just give me enough. And we're limiting God's hands. And I don't know about you. I no longer want to limit what God can do. I no longer want to say, God, I just need you to do this because, you know, I'm sure you're busy blessing other people and you're blessing those around me. Oh, thank you. Oh, great. You got another car. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, you got another raise. Cool. Oh, bless you, brother. That's awesome. I see you blessing them, but just give me enough, God. But I wonder if we are prepared. I wonder if we are ready in our spirits to receive the overflow from Jesus Christ. Listen to what I'm going to say. I'm not saying that God needs our help. I'm not saying that, oh, God only helps those that help themselves. I'm not saying that, oh, God, you're not doing it, so let me just help you out. But I am saying we can partner in faith with Jesus to prepare ourselves in our hearts. And there are some practical things that we can do in the natural that will allow us to receive the overflow that I know that God wants for us. Amen? Does anybody know that God wants to pour out an overflow in our lives? It's not just a cool song. It's not just a catchy name for a service. But it's something that God really wants to do in our life tonight. Is that all okay? Is that okay? All right. So, tonight, the message is called I'm Getting Ready, kind of like that Tasha Cobbs. Oh, oh, oh. You got to check it out because I just butchered it. You got to hear the real thing because I don't do it. Nothing of justice. Sorry, Pastor Tasha, just in case you're watching. No, just kidding. But tonight's message, you're taking notes, I'm Getting Ready. And we're going to talk about preparing for an overflow. Can you say preparing for an overflow? Preparing for an overflow. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Come on, Bishop. All right, get ready, guys. Because we're gonna talk about some things that we can do in our lives that will prepare us for what we all want, for what we've been praying for, what we've been believing for, what we've been needing. And maybe some of us has felt like, God, you don't even see me. You're not seeing my need. You're not seeing my desires. I'm praying and it's falling on deaf ears. And I don't think that's the case at all. But I also know that God, being a good father, knows when to give his children gifts. I mean, the Bible talks about it. If you, as parents in the natural, some of you are parents in here, and you being just, I mean, you guys are humans, right? You being evil know how to give your kids good gifts. How much more does your Father in heaven know how to give their children awesome things? But I'll tell you, I know that I wouldn't give my kid, he's not of driving age yet, but when he's 16, I just wouldn't put some keys in his hand and here's a car, go ahead and go drive on the freeway, right? You need to get a license. You got to take the driving test. But what that looks like is not like this, like this download of how to magically drive. Sometimes that looks like, well, here's an open door so you can get a job, so you can pay for that driving lesson, so you can get those lessons, so you can know how to drive correctly. But yeah, we're like, God, give me the magic way to drive. The driving manual. But we fast forward through. Here's the open door to get that job so you can earn that money, so you can save, so you can be generous, so you can take the lessons to learn how to drive and practice and do these things, right? We take out the practical and natural things. Yes, we serve a supernatural God. But I love how Pastor Jim's always said it. We put in the natural, God adds in the super, and we have the supernatural. But we forget that put in the natural part. God, where's my supernatural blessing? Where's my outpour? Like Reverend Beth was saying, that was amazing. Right? What are we doing with what we've been given? With our ability to go out and pursue that job or save in our finances or bless someone else or pour into someone's life. There are things that we can do in our faith to join. So we're talking about preparation. I was reading this article about this businessman. He was talking about his business. He's a Christian man, and he was struggling in his business, trying to get motivated. He had started his business, and he's like, God, this is your business. This is for you. I want to do these things for you. I want to bless people. This is this website, this blog, this thing that I'm doing, and I feel like it'll bless people. But he wasn't keeping it up. He wasn't putting it out there. There's ways you can market your business. There's ways that you can get some traffic into your site. You want to be a blessing. But what he realized, and I want to read his quote, he says that my faith propelled me to take action. My faith propelled me to take action so that I took these steps to get the natural. So I revitalized my website. I gave it a facelift. I invested in some marketing. I did these things, but it was propelled by his faith that put some action into doing those things. I wonder what in our lives are we just kind of waiting for? That God's spoken to us, God's given the ability, God's given us the resources, but we're holding on to it. Where do we need a push? Where do we need to propel? Where do we need to partner with our own faith and say, you know what? By faith, I'm going to put myself out there. By faith, I'm going to spend this money to invest into what I'm going. By faith, I'm going to sign up for that job interview. I've been a little bit afraid to do it because, you know, because it means extra hours and I don't know if I can do it. But God's put it on your heart. Or by faith, I'm going to sign up for that, for those classes this semester. By faith, I'm going to, you know, whatever it might be for you. By faith, you got to step out and propel what God can do. Instead, we want God to, you know, we give him nothing, right? Numerous times in the Bible, what I want to share with you, if you go with me in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We've all heard the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. But there was something that really stood out to me. We're going to start in verse 11 here. Verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted, so that when they were filled, say that with me, so that when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so nothing is lost. Gather up the what remains so nothing is lost. So here's the 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? We know there's 5,000 men with women and children. You're probably looking at least 10. Some scholars think up to 15 or 20,000 people, right? Miracle to be able to feed from so little. But what I think that where we need to change our mindset of that just enough or it's just going to pour out is the idea that, you know, it would have been a miracle for everyone to get an appetizer, right? Right? It would have been to get a little, what's that one with like the little tomatoes and you just put on the French bread roll, like, was it brioche, bruschetta, right? It would have been nice just to get a little like lox and bagel, right? You get a little bagel with a little bit of fish on it, right? But he was saying when they got filled, they got as much as they wanted. God, see, we have to understand something about the character of God. This speaks to God's character, and yet we limit him as a God. He just wants to provide just enough. But the character of God says otherwise. The Bible says that Jesus gave as much until they were filled, and then when they were left, there was still left over. That's the overflow I'm talking about. Jesus, so again, Jesus is the God of overflow. Jesus is the one who more than enough, who wants to give you, you're full? Okay, here's some more so it can pour out. And the disciples gather. What do you think they did with the leftovers? You don't think they distributed and blessed more people with it? Yeah, like, God, just give me enough, God. But why limit our belief on just enough when the character of God, when he speaks to saying, hey, guys, I want to give you all the way full, and then I want to give you more. And then there's going to be leftover. And then with that leftover, we want to feed some more people. So what in our life have we limited God with? What are we tying his hands with? We're talking about being prepared for an overflow. I just have a couple of points, a couple of things I want to share with you. Point number one. Attitude of gratitude. We have to have an attitude of gratitude. Come on, amen. See, no one likes an ungrateful person. No one likes giving to ungrateful people. If I could, I'd let Drew starve sometimes. You don't want to say thank you? But they say I got to feed them, so I feed them. No one likes, you know, everyone likes, oh, you're going to say thank you first? Or when's the thank you coming, right? Just one word. Thank you. Or two words, sorry. Thankful is one word. Thankful. All right. You know what I'm saying? So, but God is not like us. That's not why we do it. But I love what I was reading, a commentary saying that gratitude or thankfulness is really just the recalling of God's goodness and mercy that will save us from many pitfalls which await the ungrateful soul. Right? So it's really ungrateful is really saying, I forgot everything that you've done. So when we come to God with an attitude of gratitude, we're saying, God, I remember what you've done in the past. I remember how you saved me. I remember how you've provided, right? Because sometimes we get amnesia real quick. It doesn't take much time, right? Because the car broke down, but we forgot about the last time how God gave us the car in the first place. Amen. Or they cut our hours, but we shouldn't have even had that job, but God. Right? So we get this amnesia. We forget about what God. So we lose our gratitude. And that ungratefulness is really just saying, what have you done for me, God? So when we are thankful, when we have an attitude of gratitude, we're saying, God, I remember what you've done in the past. And if you've done it before, I know you can do it again. Come on, somebody. Someone needs that word where you just don't know. You're waiting on a bill. You're waiting on a job. And you wonder, God, can you do it? God, is this too hard for you? I'm here to tell you tonight that it is not too hard for God. I'm telling you that he can make it happen. I'm telling you that it is available for you and he wants to provide for your need. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. This is out of the ESV, so we'll pop it up on the screen and I'll read it to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? With what? Let your requests be known to God. Do not be anxious, but in prayer and in supplication, in our petitions, right? We're good at giving our laundry lists to the Lord. God, I need this, 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 this. But you might forget, so let me say it again. Or I forgot about the time that, right, where we don't have an attitude that is grateful for what he's done. I like to thank God for what he's already done and for what he's going to do. That's just kind of what I've tried to do in my own prayer life. Because I don't want to let myself forget. Because I know what happens when we forget. We don't have those victories to stand on. But it strengthens our faith when we can say, God, you've done this. Oh, man, I remember how you've done that. Oh, my gosh, you're so good, God. Look what you've done. Look at those people, those prayers that you've answered before in my life. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but you made that way happen. So I can be grateful now, God. So when I bring this new petition, when I bring this new request unto you, Jesus, it's with thanksgiving knowing it's the same God that did it before, and I know you can do it again. Because your promises are yes and amen. One more verse I want to share with you about this. Another popular verse, you guys probably know it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. Actually, there's three verses real short. If you guys ever want to memorize a verse, here we go, 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is the will of God, in case you were wondering, in case you thought you were doing him a favor, it is God's will that you would be thankful. Not because God needs to, not like me, right? I already exposed myself. I want to hear you say thank you before I give you anything. But it is God's will, right? Why? Because God knows that when we're in a position of gratitude, when we're in a position of thankfulness, our heart is surrendering, our heart is full of faith saying, I know you can do it. So really, like in everything, when God asks us to do something, it's not for his benefit, it's for ours. Let me say that again. When God asks us to do something, it's not for his benefit because he's vain or he just likes to hear us say thank you, but it's for ours because what it does is it's forcing our heart, whether it's verbally with our mouth or a position of our heart to say, God, you've done it, and I thank you for that you're going to do it again. So it's the will of God for our life that we're grateful. He's not saying, oh, I guess you got to pray for me. Pray to me and ask me for things. He's saying, be grateful because then your heart will be ready and prepared to receive. Amen? We got to prepare our hearts to receive. Instead, we have our laundry list and we're just waiting. God, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? I'm repeating my prayers. I'm seeing other people be blessed. But let's be honest with ourselves. Is our heart in a position that we can receive all that God has for us? Are we grateful? Is our faith really knowing that he can do it? Oh, but God hasn't done much for me lately. Oh, he hasn't. Oh, you made up your own breath? You got here on your own? Come on. I'm speaking to myself tonight, too. Don't get confused by this high stage. I'm not on a soapbox. I'm just up here so you guys can see me. I'm kind of short. All right? I'm right there with you. We got to make sure our hearts are prepared. Point number two. I told you it was going to be short. But this point. Let me just take a little drink of water. I'll try not to do it awkwardly. Too late. We got to make room. Come on, can somebody say make room? This thought, this principle, this idea, I kid you not, has changed my whole life. Make room. Make room. Turn with me. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. Anyone know who Elisha is? Anyone know who Elisha is? Amen. Chapter 4. Shunem, the Shunammite woman, has inspired me in so many ways. But here we go, starting in verse number 8. Verse number 8. I encourage you another time to read the entire story, but we'll pick up in verse number 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. Can we put this in like modern day terms? Right, so there's this woman, or this Shunammite woman, who's probably had a house off the road, and knew Elisha, the prophet, the man of God, was going to come by through this way. So she's a notable woman. She had some wealth, so she might not have done it herself. Maybe she had her servants light up the barbecue, right? And that slow roast barbecue where you just smell it for a while, right? First you get the charcoal going, and you smell, and you know it's about to be some good barbecue, right? And it's just getting ready, right? It's getting, no pun intended, it's just getting ready. It's stewing. And, you know, they probably have some people trying to get it onto the main road. Elisha's about to come, blow it out there, right? Getting the smoke ready to get onto the road. Because it says persuaded. It didn't say she had a restaurant side. It was persuaded. So, you know, here we go. Get the flame out there. Let them smell it. So it was, as often as he passed, he would turn there to eat some food. So it fast forwarded real quick. He got the note. He got the word. He went there for some barbecue. It was good. So he went every time. Every time I'm in town, this is my spot, Elisha said. Right? I got my new eating spot. This is it right here. I have a feeling Lucille's probably didn't have anything on this barbecue. It's some good stuff. So here we go. And she said to her husband, here goes the honeydews. Honey, look now, I know this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make, I wonder if there was really a please there, but we'll just, come on, I don't know. Honeydews don't always have please. Maybe that's just me. Sorry, babe, where you at? Okay. All right. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn there. The Shunammite woman saw this man of God, wanted to feed him, and saw that he was coming every time, and said, honey, let's make a room. Let's build a room. So when the man of God comes, we have a place that he could dwell. And it wasn't just a room. It had a bed. It had a lamp. It had everything that he could need. This was like the Ritz-Carlton. I'm sure they made it, right? They wanted to make him comfortable. So the point that I have for all of us today, what are we making room for in our life? What are we building? Where do we make room? Like I said, this changed my life. I put it on a post-it note, and I have it on my computer, and I have a whiteboard in my office, and I put it up on the top of my whiteboard, make room, so that I never forget to make room for a miracle, to make room for what God is going to do, to make room in my heart for what God wants to do. See, because there are things that we have to build out. Now, when you build a room, you got to make some plans, right? You got to gather some materials. You got to make some blueprints. You got to have some blood, sweat, and tears, right? Because you probably nicked yourself on the saw. There's a trial, but you got to know, God, I'm making room for this. Can I share a story with you? My son, like I said, he's going to be 8 years old. For the last 6 years, my wife and I have been trying to have a second baby. A lot of times people ask, oh, only one? Yeah, just one. Not knowing that, you know, it's a journey. And I know there's people on that journey, and it's a faith-filled journey. But the reason why this has changed my life is because I remember this thought, this concept of make room. So it's been 6 years or so trying to conceive, and so here we go. We have an extra room in our house. And along the way, I was like, God, I got to make room. There's an extra room. I'm going to clean this room up. And then we kind of get some junk in there. I'd be like, no, we got to clean this room up. We got to make this room clean because I'm going to make room. Because I remember that Shunammite woman, how she made room for the man of God. And a few months ago, I went so far as to be like, you know what? I've made room, but I'm going to really make room. I painted the room. I painted the room. It was a unisex color. We have the crib from Andrew's bed when he was a baby. We have this like little changing table. And I said, Lord, this is I'm going to make room for that baby because I'm going to believe that baby is coming. So somebody in this place tonight has to make a room. Someone in this place has to, because it's not just a cool concept, make room. I saw it on a shirt today. Make room. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to preach on that. It's not, but sometimes what are we doing to make room for what God wants to do to overflow in our life? Because it takes an investment. I had to go buy some paint. I had to use a whole my day off to make this, but I'm making a room. And then God will take care of the rest. I put my faith out there. And in this story, it goes on to say that the Shunammite woman, she made room for the man of God, and she called on the man of God. And maybe another reason why the story resonates is because he was like, man, you have me here. What's going on? And she was like, I can't have a baby. And she told him, you're going to have a baby. And she said, just like I've heard so many times in our journey with my wife, is like, don't tell me that. You know, that's a big thing to say. You know, a lot of people, you know, again, if you're on this journey, you know, when people say, oh, it's going to happen, like, don't play with me, right? That's a big thing to say, right? Because it can be a painful journey. And there's a lot of people believing for a lot of things. But you know, like, don't play with me. And he says, it's going to happen. You're going to have, and he has a baby. She had a baby when he said he was going to have a baby. And the man of God spoke to her and she received it. And another time, and you go on in the story and the baby died. The child grew up and the child died. And this woman who made room with the man of God, she went out and she's like, this baby, the baby was dead. The baby died on her lap. She went up, she put him in the man of God's room. She put him in Elisha's room. She went and said, like, all right, get my horse or my donkey and I'm going to go find him. She went and tracked down the man of God. And so she said, Elisha, you need to come. My child died. Your dream died. The job that you got, that was the fulfillment of the promise, died. What? You got laid off. That door got closed, but that was the answer to your prayer. God, what is going on? Gets the man of God. The man comes and raises it back to life. Raises the boy back to life. Your dream is not dead. Your dream is not dead. But somebody make room in this place. Make room for what God wants to do. And if it was just for that one or two or five people, I'm telling you, God sent me to tell you to make room in your life, not just for the miracle, not just for the thing that you've been believing for, but for all the things that God has for you. To hear the voice of God for your life. Because you don't even know how to believe because you don't feel like you've seen him move. You don't even know how to ask. But God has a plan for your life. He's ordained a way for your life. And that laying off of a job or those closed doors doesn't by any means mean anything is canceled because God can do all things. Nothing is impossible with God. Come on. God is not limited to what common resource is or what this is or what that is. And oh, that one fulfillment to the promise, that doesn't mean anything. Because you're offended. You're mad at God because you have lost something that wasn't a promise. It was spoken to you, and then you saw it fulfilled, but then it was taken away without any warning. But God, I was tithing. But God, I was showing up to church. I was serving. I was telling people about Jesus. How could you do that to me? But God's saying, I'm not finished with you. Remember how we were talking about a father, a good father, a loving father wants to prepare his children for everything that he has for them. We are in a time of preparation. Where God is molding our hearts. He's preparing our spirits. He's preparing what we're doing. But I don't know about you, but I want to partner up with his goodness. I want to partner up with his full power, his full turn it on, full blast power. Not just, hey, just give me a couple drops. I don't want to ask for a couple drops. I want to ask for the whole thing, Jesus. Fill me up to overflow. I'm going to ask the band to come up. I want to just leave you with one last verse. Because I hope the Lord spoke to you. I hope that God showed you how that you can have some more gratitude in your life. Maybe you're a grateful person. How to have some more. Maybe you're a faithful person. Well, how can I make room? But I want to share this scripture out of Proverbs 21. I'll just read it real quickly. Proverbs 21 and 31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle,
but deliverance is of the Lord. Another translation says victory is of the Lord. And it's alluding to how God's timing is perfect. See, we prepare our horses. I know this message is talking about a preparation. All right, I did what you said, Pastor. I prepared. I made room. I did what you got to do. But remember, victory is the Lord's, and his timing is perfect in your life. So do not grow weary in doing what? In doing good. Let's not grow weary. Let's know that his timing is perfect and that the victory is already his. He's gone before us in battle, but we continue to praise. We continue to be grateful, and the Lord comes through right on time for us. Amen. Did anyone hear from the Word of God tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.